sucked in media outlets. We've found Chappelle Corby. Where is she?
Inside having a
manga.
Yeah, she is.
Plenty of, well, Marto, you gave us the scoop, mate. You spoke to one of you, somebody you know was sitting behind Chappelle on her flight home. So well done to you. You scooped everybody. Congratulations.
How good is that? You're sitting in row two and Chappelle and Mercedes hop on. I would have been kicking the chair.
We there yet?
That's fun. Hey, what about your old, what was his name? Gordy Tallis, that's him. I thought that was interesting. He was putting my mind at ease because I was thinking about Billy Moore because you're going to see him lot doing Queenslander. Yeah. He was saying, Gordy Tallis to come on to say, listen, you've got to just support the team. Relax, Robin, because Marto and I have been nervous. It's all going
to
be okay.
You have been. So I had to address it with Gordy.
You know what else Gordy thought? I read in his article yesterday going that motivation, remember when they walked off, the New South Wales won the third game, but Queensland accepted the trophy, and the New South Welshman walked off. He reckons that's what the team remembers.
Okay.
They're such scumbags. There's plenty in the catch-up today. Enjoy yourself.
Inside having a
From the Maroon Sheds, very relaxed ahead of game one.
Marto, Ed and Robin, for T-Moto, huge half-yearly sale. Don't miss your chance to grab a new Yamaha, Kawasaki, Honda or Suzuki motorcycle. T-Moto.com.au.
You've seen the new one, put out your boogie boards.
Office
Everyone's putting them out on their front fences, just
they
putting a boogie
not.
Board. Oh, well, some people
real?
Are. I've seen it on Facebook. A few people are put out your boogie boards for Chappelle.
That's great.
Lovely touch.
That's great. Now, Marto, where do you want to start this? Because it's all about the circus, the media circus. It's all about the cars trailing the motorcade of Chappelle Corby, the eight limousines, and some went here, decoys went everywhere. And to be fair, it worked. I mean, she was meant to be on a Virgin flight. And all of the journalists, there were 40 journalists.
I'm a top line journalist and I've been outsmarted by Mercedes. Whoa.
Everyone got done. I just loved it. Like they walked up and everyone thought they've got business seats to go on to the Virgin flight. And at the last minute, they turned right and went to Malindo Air.
Yeah, which
everyone's ever heard of.
What was a Malindo? What is it?
Look, this is one of these things. I didn't know this, but they actually fly from Brisbane to Denpasar in Bali. But they've also got an incredible network, Robin, of other places in Asia that you can go. These guys are incredible. They go to Taiwan, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh.
Yeah, man, I've never heard of half of these places. Where's Medan? Where's Kuta Baharu?
Well, there's only one way to find out. If you get on a Malindo mystery flight, it's a genuine mystery.
Jesus.
Where are we?
What a great ad, though. Straight away, the Corby should be invoicing Malindo.
Here we are talking
Chittagong.
Malindo. Oh, Chittagong's in Bangladesh. They play cricket there.
Oh, yeah, we know
that.
Of course you would.
All right, Kathmandu, I'll go to Kathmandu.
Tell me a bit about it, though. If it flies into Brisbane, why have we never heard about it? Well, does it look luxurious?
I've been on their website for a little while, just looking through the various different things they offer. They got business class. They've got a selection of gourmet meals. They've got a smoking section, a non-smoking section, and Chappelle.
Do they?
And a bucket bong section. I don't know who. Oh, no, that's a typo. That's something else. They do not have that. They've got a number of... So they got excellent baggage allowance. This is not an ad, by the way. Anyway, let's move on. What's some of the other aspects, Marto, that you want to cover of the Chappelle return?
Well, the news last night had it on for 11 minutes. Like, are we really... Oh, I don't really want to talk about Chappelle, but it is fascinating how everyone else is talking about it. The normal people are driving to work this morning, right now, at this hour, 6:13. Does anyone care? Because...
It's not care. It's just that it's interesting. She's been in our lives for 10, 15 years.
This is two weekends in a row. Last weekend it was Cocaine Cassie. This weekend it's Cannabis Corby. Who's next weekend? Is it Eki Erica? Or is there somebody else who's going to be popping a few? Is this where we're going as a society? With that reporter last night, there was some girl down there at the house at Logan Lee standing in front of a carport. There was like an escort and a Tirana or something in the carport. And she was going, well, there's nobody here. And that was leading our news on a Sunday night for the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, they kept going into that house. So obviously, what's her mum's name? Rosalie Rose. They're at her house and here's all the rally started to turn up. It was quite spectacular.
At her mum's Logan Lee home, party guests arrived ready to celebrate.
So happy.
Yay! She's 4 minutes.
Hey, yeah.
There was a woman there. The bottle of vodka was the same height as her.
She's in the paper.
Arnie Jen.
She's got a huge bottle of vodka. So they're celebrating without, because she's not there though.
Well, there's a little thing in the paper where they're going, maybe she was at the Sofitel, but maybe they've gone around the back street and snuck her through the neighbour's yard. Would that have outsmarted the
neighbour's yard? But I just love this. Like, seriously, when I was doing the Today Show on Saturday, we were talking before we were going to air. And everyone's saying, oh, you know, it's a bit of a media circus and we're not, you know, is everyone interested in this? I mean, the thing is that the networks are the ringmasters and yet no one knows where she is. That is actually very impressive. Brilliant. I cannot think of another situation where the media has been completely outsmarted, and not just one network, but all of them.
Yeah. That's true. Like, because normally
no one knows where she is.
Normally they're outsmarting for the others. So normally they've signed a deal with one network so they're trying to outsmart the others. But that doesn't seem to have happened. What are they trying to achieve here?
They're just a bunch of bogans who are looking to get on the grog and they haven't actually gotten to get. Like, there they are. Let's have a listen to them again at Logan.
No one's telling me. They're keeping me in the dark. I've come all the way here. When's the visit? And I haven't seen her.
All right. She is inside having a vodka.
Pardon me?
Inside having a vodka.
Oh, yeah.
So she's turned up at the party and there's no Chappelle, so she even tricked her own rally. So they've all turned up going, party, where's Chappelle?
Do you think they've just forgotten her in general? Like, they've left her in Bali?
But see, maybe this is Mercedes' great plot. Like, maybe Mercedes is going, we'll reveal Chappelle if you pay us.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, they have now succeeded for 24 hours to have hidden her.
That's right.
So everyone is desperate. It's created, like, the media frenzy that was once controlled by the media is now being controlled by the, Chappelle and Mercedes. I think that is genius.
She's got to turn up before Origin because our attention span will run out of, we won't care. Come Wednesday, it'll be Origin fever. Tomorrow's got to be the day where the hide-and-seek game's over.
Oh, when they announce her as the next statue referee. Outside Suncorp.
Oh, my God.
All the big issues. Ooh, that's a hammering tackle. All the big moments.
Try for Queensland.
The voice of rugby league. Rabs Warren.
Gallows Pies. You've done absolutely beautifully, Sean.
Origin countdown clock, less than 62 hours now, and he hasn't done an interstate game at all this year. He doesn't like travelling, and he says as he gets older, he fears air travel even more. It's been reported that Ray Warren will be driving to Suncorp Stadium, making the 950-kilometre road trip, going via relatives in Forster, Port Macquarie and some mates in Byron Bay. Incredible story. But the thing is, he joins us now live on the road as part of that road trip. Rabs?
Yeah, morning, Stolo. Morning, Fat Man. Good morning, Aaron.
Where are you, Rabs?
Stolo, we're on the road. We are on the road. We're on the wide open Hume Highway going about 10 kilometres an hour. What a trip so far.
Who's in the car with you, Rabsy?
I tell you, we are packed in my Kingswood, tighter than the pieces of steak into a Gallows pie.
My
favourite pie. Stolo's in here. We got Fat Man. Big Man is strapped to the roof. And Bo Ryan. Bo has his own caravan that we pull behind. I tell you something, Fat Man. Bo Ryan is a great guy. Yeah. Every time we go past a female backpacker, he makes us stop to offer them a lift. Even if they're just at a cafe. He demands it, Fat Man.
So how's the trip going, Rabs?
I'll tell you something, Vossy. We're running late. I've had to say, Stolo, no more toilet stops. Oh. Just use one of Fat Man's empty UDL cans. But Bo keeps drinking them. It's unbelievable.
Now listen, you suggested you were going to stop at some rallies and some mates. Have you done any sightseeing on the way?
Aaron, so much sightseeing. We stopped at the Big Prawn, which is what we call Fatty, the Big Pineapple, and the Corby Compound. What? I tell you, we had a massive night with Chappelle and the crew. Yeah. I tell you something, those guys get the munchies. Luckily, we had some Gallows pies.
Oh, nice.
No, my favourite pie. Yes. There was a little incident when Mercedes bit Stolo on the nose, but apart from that, it's been okay. She thought he was a Gallows pie.
So, Rabs, are you excited about Origin?
Yeah, thanks, Bossy. I always am. I can tell you, Fat Man, I remember seeing a game in 1987 when the Queensland came onto the field with a toddler. I said, dead set, there's a ball boy in the warm-up. Turns out it was Alan Langer. I'll tell you something. I said, that young scamp needs fattening up. Send him down to Garlow's Farm. That was a number of years before they were invented.
Okay.
But I'll tell you something. Right. It ended up being a great night for Queensland and a great night for us. I ended up in a spa with Sir Joe and Stefan. What an evening.
Now, listen, we've had enough of you and your Garlow's pies. I hope
Batman, put that down. Batman, don't eat that. We're in Byron Bay and it's on the side of the road. I think it might be a magic mushroom.
Okay,
go, guys.
Okay, thank
we're
you.
We're going to have to let you go, Razzie.
On the ride with Rabs and you, Triple M.
I don't know whether you're not as old as I am, but I seem to be at the age where I've got a lot of friends whose parents are dying. Like,
yeah, kind of happens.
It
does happen. And I mean, you're kind of surrounded by it too because your mother-in-law passed away last week.
That's why it's current in my mind. The funeral's on tomorrow. But I was talking to a mate over the weekend. He's just lost, same thing, the second parent. Like, one goes and, you know, life continues on. But he also had lost. And he said, my sister and I are having a bit of a squabble.
About
I said,
what?
Over what? He said, well, we've always loved each other and all fine. Over, well, now they've got to dispose of everything. When the second parent dies, they've got to dispose of everything. Kath was telling me, my wife was telling me, I was telling her about it. She went, funny thing was the day after her mother died, she attempted to leave the house with a coffee mug.
Oh, yeah.
Her mother's house. Who was her favourite coffee mug. Whenever she went and saw her mother, she drank the coffee out of that and she just figured, well, that's now mine. One of her sisters pulled her up. Now, they are a very tight family, my wife's family. Her brother also was pulled up because he said, well, Mum always said that clock, I could have that clock.
There's something so nasty about it.
I wouldn't say they're squabbling, but I've never seen it. And we've got dinner out there. I might report more on it tomorrow. But I've never seen, I've never thought this would happen, but it obviously does. This is the most together family, and it looks like there's some... We're under impression that should be theirs as time goes on, and other members of the family are going, no, well, I thought that was, I could have that table. I've heard of these little things before. I'd like to hear more.
Okay, so are they going to all come together in the house? And
I believe this evening.
Stuff?
I believe
oh,
that's
tonight.
Going to happen this evening, so I'll tell you how it pans out. Because the reality is it's got to go somewhere.
Because the other thing is, the other time that it happens is in the will, that often if the person's really organised, they can actually leave a list of the things that they're leaving to various people. Does not usually include coffee mugs.
Have you ever heard of one of the kids getting there early and putting stickers on things?
Oh, yeah.
That's mine, that, and that.
Oh.
I don't know whether that's how this is going to pan out this evening.
Like bargain hunters.
Yeah. Well, mate, I've got an orange sticker. What are you? I'm yellow.
And the red.
Yeah.
Do you reckon it'll come to fisticuffs?
Oh, no, definitely not. No, well, I don't know. Can you give me stories? Has your family ever squabbled over an estate, the way you're splitting things up in the house?
It's been very quiet here.
Hmm. Well, no, I'm just listening. I'm thinking, because the way we do it in my family, we don't use stickers. We urinate on the stuff.
Oh, good. Marking your territory. Has your family ever squabbled over an estate? If you've done it in the fashion that Ed Cavally has, then gee, we'd like to hear that story.
I actually would think the question is, do families not squabble? But Dave of Tewantin, what were you fighting over? What happened?
Yeah, morning. My mum's the oldest of four girls. And when my granddad passed away, get a whole lot of war medals, and because technically I'm the oldest grandson, and the old school rules, unwritten rules go to the oldest boy.
Yeah.
And the auntie that was looking after them most kept them and then gave them to her daughter. And then and I'm the oldest grandson type thing. And he had a sword inside a cane as well that they kept. And so when my mum... When I went over to New Zealand last, my mum left my sister and I a list of items that what we both were going to go get, so it would be easier when she passes away. And she's in her 60s, so it's kind of a sad thing. But,
there you go. So the list is a smart idea. What you're saying, Dave, if they get the list going, if it's part of the will, then that's probably a pretty smart way to do it. Take it out of the kid's hands.
Right,
take it out of the kid's hands.
Make it official.
Yeah, make it official.
This can break up families. Like, right, seriously, yeah. If you think about it, it actually doesn't become about the thing that you're fighting about. It's becoming about who feels they have the right to do that.
Yeah.
And that can go back to childhood and whether you hated your cousin or, you know,
what
if you thought they
done?
Were the favourite. Yeah. Phil of the Sunny Coast, what happened with you?
When my ex-wife's grandmother died, her and her husband had done a lot of travelling and they had the teaspoons from all different towns and states and areas and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, all the siblings were fighting over the teaspoons.
Oh, please.
So, oh, my God.
Yeah, that's hideous. So my ex-wife's father, he'd had a couple of beers. He took them home, which was only just up the street, and soldered them all together and came back and just threw them on the lawn.
That's fantastic.
And then what happened? What happened to the family?
He was just disgusted. He didn't speak to them. And that was probably 20 years later he died and he didn't speak to any of them.
Oh, wow.
All because spoons. Of the teaspoons.
Over spoons. Thank you, Phil.
Jeez.
Caroline's from... Yeah.
Tanamera, tell us what happened.
Spoons. Well, it hasn't happened. My mum's in her late 80s and mum has actually gone through and put post-it notes on things for my sister and myself and our four children. Okay. And we've just, you know, we've had that conversation with mum and, you know, she's just like, yep, this is for you. And, you know, so when it comes to actually doing it all, there's no fights. Yeah.
And are you happy, though? Are you happy with what you've got, though? What if there's something that you really wanted that's got a sticker for your sister on it?
Absolutely. My sister and I have completely different tastes, so it's all good.
Can you trust your sister not to go in the middle of the night and change post-it notes?
Yeah, she lives in England, so if mum goes, you know, it'll be me there first, so it's all good.
She's confident. She's confident.
Marto, Ed and Robin, Triple M.
40 journalists sat on a Virgin flight thinking they were going to see Chappelle walk in, and they didn't. She gave them the slip, and she got on another plane, a Malindo plane, of all things. They're hearing good things about that airline this morning, to come back to Australia. So all the journalists got dudded. But, Robin, as you watched the news last night, and as I watched the news last night, we saw people that were on the flight with Chappelle that were being spoken to. And, Marto, you said you knew one of them.
I looked at the screen and said, wow, that's Gabrielle. And it was a girl I used to know in our youth. And a mate of mine was friendly with her and tracked down a number. And Gabrielle Ames, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, did you really sit behind Chappelle on the plane coming into Brisbane yesterday?
Yes, I did.
All right, let's take it from there.
Give us that moment. Goodness. Give us that moment, Gabrielle. Were you in your seat when she walked on?
No, I was first aware that she... I was getting text messages when I was in Bali that she was going to be on my flight, but there was two flights leaving Bali, Denpasar at the same time, pretty much around the same time, a Virgin flight and a Malinda Air flight.
Yeah.
So I started getting some texts from friends saying, you're on the plane, same flight as Chappelle. Anyway, so I just went, yeah, okay, whatever. And then... When they changed the gate, I think, one or two times, so there was a bit of confusion at the airport.
That always happens.
So people were kind of running because they suddenly changed it to downstairs in this odd location. So people were running down these escalators thinking they were going to miss the flight. And then we were kind of held up on this bus waiting to be taken across to the aircraft. And that's when we realised she was going to be on our flight because we were all just waiting, wondering why we weren't leaving. And it's because they were waiting for her to come and go on another, like a little private bus over.
Jesus.
So was she in business class? Was she in economy?
She was in business.
And was she with Mercedes? Like who was with her on that flight?
So sitting next to her was her sister Mercedes. And then on the aisle seat was her security guy called John.
And so what did anyone... Because that's a big moment for people. You know, that's a big moment when you see...
I don't think anyone really... Very few people knew that she was on the aircraft.
Oh.
Only a few people who were on that later bus coming over after her. And then not many people recognised her. So a couple of people had a look at her. Wow. But she kept her head down and she has a lot of hair. So she kind of had some type of headscarf or hoodie or something.
Yeah.
So she kind of just kept her head down and was looking sort of out of the window so no one could engage with her.
But surely you couldn't help yourself. Did you stand up and have a look?
Oh, no, of course not. No, I was sitting behind her. I didn't have to stand up and have a look. I could see her.
Really? So did she spend the whole time of the flight just sitting in her seat? Did she get up and wander? Did she talk?
Oh, she was chatting to her sister. They did a baked toast with a glass of water. She said, oh, shame it's not champagne. And then pretty much settled down for the flight, just had a meal.
Now, what movie did she watch? Mm. What movies did she go for?
I have no clue. It was a night flight, so by the time we took off, it was 10 o'clock, like 10:30 at night, and then they dimmed all the after food. Everyone much pretty slept, so...
Okay, right, so when the plane landed, there's the big thing, because no one's seen us since it landed in Brisbane. What happened?
Well, the funny thing is the crew didn't even know who she was. So when everyone got to get off the aircraft, they were told to let her and her sister and bodyguard off first. And then suddenly we're being stopped from disembarking. And we were told, oh, no, you've got to wait. Special guest, special passenger has to leave. And that's when one of the other passengers said, oh, well, she's hardly special. We don't recognizing drunk people.
That's great. Right. And then off she went. Did you see the decoys? Did you see any of the decoys?
No. Basically, she got off and they stopped anyone else getting off. And then by the time we were allowed off, she totally disappeared. And that's when everyone realised when they got through immigration and all the camera crew were there, that you could see all these passengers going, oh, my God, what's going on? Yes. They had no clue. So
what an operation. Gabrielle was sitting behind Chappelle Corby on the flight on the way home. What a wonderful report you have done. Do you realise that you've done better than the 40 journalists that were paid to go over there, Gabrielle? Do you understand that moment? That's what you are today. Well done. Thanks for speaking to us.
Pleasure.
I'd like 133353, anyone to call us. It's about catching animals, like strange animals. Well, not. I just saw a thing on the TV trying to catch emus. Did you see that? That's how hard it was. They were having a lot of trouble catching an emu. Because over the weekend, I had a bird fly into our house.
Oh, no.
Did you?
And no, a bird, those bugger ones, the Indian miners, I think they're called. Real buggers. All right. I could have opened all the windows and let it fly out, but I wanted to teach it a lesson.
Yep, that's right.
The amount of damage I did to our house, throwing cushions, throwing towels, blankets. I chased around the house. Eventually, I gave up and opened the windows and let it out. I could not catch that bird because I wanted to. I don't know what I was going to do if I did catch it. But the other one was took the dog to the dog park. I got a five-month-old dog. Loves going to the dog park. And it's also got a creek. Will not, at the end of it, won't come home. Doesn't want to leave. And chasing it around. And he knows because they're supposed to be highly disciplined. It's a little Kelpie. Will not, when it doesn't want to come, I cannot catch the bugger because it's just too quick. And just as you reach it, it's gone again. And I was watching that bloke with the emu and I know how he feels. And you think about it. You got chooks, you got pigs.
Wow, that's great.
Birds are horrible. I sometimes see a moose running down streets in Canada and that sort of stuff.
Same, yeah,
catching animals. What do you reckon the hardest animal is to catch? Has anyone had, like, is a camel a difficult thing to get hold of? Is a horse? I don't know.
It's a great question. 133353, what is the hardest animal to catch? Maybe you've witnessed this. I believe sometimes when they go on, Robin, when you go on those safaris, and they promise that you'll see the big five.
Mm. Yes,
there's a couple of them that's quite hard to get hold of, isn't there? There's a couple of those. It's hard to find.
Well, leopards are really difficult to spot. The leopard is not the easiest.
But I'm not talking just about seeing them. I'm talking about wrangling
guinea
them.
Pigs. I'm going to vote for guinea pigs.
Can't you just reach in and get them?
Anything without a tail that is quick, because they can just slip through your hands.
Well, that's Chappelle.
Yeah, that is Chappelle. She has no tail. If she had a tail, we'd find her.
Fish, actually, when you're trying to grab fish as well, they're bloody hard to catch.
Oh, Chinese restaurants where they got the tanks and you point at the one you want and then they all hide. Like, nah, you're just pointing at that bloke, not me. Maddie from Mount Nebo is about to educate us all. Maddie, what is the hardest animal to catch?
I'd say a platypus.
Wow, ooh. I was not expecting to hear this morning. What happened, Maddie? Why were you trying to catch a platypus?
Okay, I used to be a zookeeper and I cared for a platypus for about 10 years. It was a male. So catching them, you have to pick them up. They live in the water or under the ground.
Yeah, we know
that. Well, the males are venomous, but the females aren't. Oh, definitely.
What? Hang on. How are they? Like, they'll bite you or they'll scratch you?
No, they don't actually have teeth. But on their rear ankles, the males have venom glands with little spurs. And when they dig those spurs into you, they can envenenate you. So it's like a snake venom. So you could die of an anaphylactic shock, or you could have a bad
No.
And the only way to tell them apart is to pick them up.
That is quite incredible. That who knew? So, all right, for anyone out there, if you're approaching a platypus.
Yeah, because I see them all the time.
If you're sneaking up behind it, watch out for the glands on the backs of their little feet. What do they taste like, Maddie? Like the meat?
I'm not sure. They tell me it's kind of like a cross between a koala and a Tasmanian devil.
Yeah, that sounds right. Barbecue. Slow cooked.
Tastes like.
Okay. It was a trick.
Yep.
It was a trick question.
She was onto it.
We learned something today, guys. Who knew?
Monotremes are very venomous.
And tasty.
Marto and Robin, the new Triple M.
Our boys are going to give 100%, whether they win or lose, on Wednesday night. Would that be correct?
Yes, fair enough.
Can I address something? I wasted my Friday night. I didn't have to commentate, but I went out and watched the Reds play at Suncorp Stadium. Yesterday afternoon, I sat down on my lounge and watched the Lions. Both of these things I will never get back, that time in my life, and both of them were extremely disappointing. What do I talk about first? We barely talk about the Lions and Reds because we've been very disappointed and almost semi-embarrassed by what the Lions showed a bit of spirit yesterday. I watched them score three goals in a row, but they're so like the Reds. The Reds were ahead in part of their game on Friday night. If anyone doesn't know, I'm talking about the Reds rugby team, because that's how long it's been since we've had a lot of success. The Lions are coming last at the moment. The Reds are about fourth last in their competition. Ill discipline, poor kicking. I'm trying to think of the parallels between both of the teams.
Can I throw something at you?
Yeah.
You know how they're talking about getting rid of at least one of the Australian teams? Mm. Is it we're at a point there? And the NBA went through this a little bit when they expanded with a few teams. And you see it sometimes with the NHL and the America and those sort of things.
Relocation.
And even in the Premier League. Now, the Premier League has too many teams. There's not that many good teams in the Premier League. In the soccer, there's only probably six, maybe seven.
That's true, but there's 24 teams in the competition, isn't there?
Yeah, if there were 20. If there were less teams in the Australian Conference, would that mean that the general standard of each of the players would be better?
Yes, 100% definitely, because some of the chumps in the Reds could be squeezed out and you'd pick up a sprinkle of these teams that are going to get booted out of the competition, whether it be the team from Perth or the team from Melbourne. Their players would be sprinkled throughout the other four teams and the teams would be better.
Okay, just forgive me here, and I am the layman when it comes to all things sport, but surely someone always has to lose and a team will always have to rebuild. So in the 90s when the Lions were massive and they nearly won four premierships in a row and they did three instead, and then they lost all their key players and now they're in that doldrums and they're trying to find the new players.
That's 15 years ago.
15 years.
Okay, so what's the Reds' gig? Are they had a decade of dominance? Have they had
their time in the sun? They won in 2011. And then they went well in 2012, and since then they've been nothing. I don't know. I just watched them and said there was no fight from either of them for the full period. You know, for the 100 minutes for the Lions, for the 80 minutes for the Reds. They didn't go the full distance. You know what? And I was thinking about this morning as I was coming into work. I went, if I turned up on a building site and they're all contracted, you go, geez, I'd like to bugger off a few of these players, get rid of them. Get rid of a lot of them, or you get rid of some of them. You'd go, well, that tiling's rubbish. And I tell you what, your plastering's hopeless. You're gone. You there, you're the brickies. You're gone. You're hopeless. Have a look at the mess you've left and all the rest of it. That's not a proper job. Because I'd know that the owner wouldn't pay me as the builder if these blokes stayed on site and kept on going. So bugger them off. Get rid of them straight away. Why do we have to pay these blokes? Oh, we have, you know what the Reds always say? Oh, we can't pay out their contract. We can't afford to pay out their contract. Therefore, we have to hang on to the duds. Well, the Reds only had 12,000 people there on Friday night to watch them play. I believe it takes 13,500 people to pay the rent on Suncorp to open up the doors. They're losing money. So therefore, if you're a sensible owner, you bugger off those subcontractors and move on and get a... Oh.
Wow, interesting. Look, I've been saying for a long time that the Reds need to be run like the block. And I think it's time now.
Lose one a week.
We're getting so. But you make a good point.
Why don't we vote someone off? Why not take some ownership of the team? Vote one Lion and one Red off every Monday morning, and we might actually get to a list that we want.
They both need some sort of energy or something to come in, because at the moment, you're right, they're basically not inspiring the many, many thousands of fans.
That's right. We want to be their fans.
Are out there. Yep.
I want to watch the Lions. I want to watch the Reds, but you can't.
Robin, it's the new Triple M.
Well, we're still talking about it, yet no one can find her. I think, Robin, did you say all the news channels are still running? Where's Chappelle this morning?
Oh, it's hilarious. It's right through Twitter. It's like, it's almost like they're going out on social media in the hope that someone will stick their head up and go, actually, I've just served her breakfast and she's at the Sofitel. Yeah, that's
that
not happened
sense,
yet, actually. By
that
the way.
That makes sense. But it all started with an incredible escape from Bali, and Max Futcher, Channel 7's reporter in Bali, was there. Max, had you ever seen such a large operation to smuggle someone in or out of somewhere?
No, incredible, wasn't it? I don't know who's paying for it, but
yeah.
They've done a good
what's
job.
Your speculation,
so far.
Hey, what's your speculation on the inside of the media? Because everyone normally, it's just one media outlet stopping the others getting an exclusive. Where is this money coming from, Max?
I don't know, mate. We've all been obviously wondering who's going to get the story. Obviously, there's a proceeds of crime legislation yes. issue. There is a chance someone is going to pay for this story. And honestly, it could be our company for all I know, but we're not being told, that's for sure.
Well, Max, how did Chappelle give you the slip over there? Did you end up on that Virgin flight?
Mate, I was the last one on. I just got off that flight.
Oh, you poor bugger.
Because I was thinking, well, I wasn't at the bar. I was the last one on there thinking that she was going to get on. I know that she checked in. We know that she had a boarding pass, but at the very last minute, she changed to that Melinda flight and gave everyone the slip.
Even that, Max, is quite an elaborate
Are you allowed
ruse?
To do that? Have yeah. two boarding flights for two planes?
Apparently so. Apparently you can. And but there were special arrangements in place because while I was waiting there on the concourse, there was a couple of newspaper photographers there with me. Yeah. And they realised that the fix was in when all these security personnel came rushing down the stairs to sort of block the access down to the Melinda flight at the last minute.
Goodness,
and as they tried to go down there, all the security guards stopped them and threatened them with arrest. So that's when I thought, well, I'm just going to get on my flight and go home.
I'm just going to go home here.
But Max, where is she? Where is she now?
I don't know. Last night people were parked outside the Sofitel.
Are you off yesterday. The case?
No, I've got the day off today, mate. They let me sleep.
Oh, thank goodness.
Hey, Max,
I'll probably get a call shortly.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, hey, Max, we've got to play you something because Marto just knows everyone in Brisbane and he came in today and he goes, I think I know someone who was on the plane with her. And we spoke to a lady by the name of Gabrielle who scooped all the reporters because she actually ended up sitting behind Chappelle on the flight back. This is what she told us this morning.
Well, the funny thing is the crew didn't even know who she was. So when everyone got to get off the aircraft, they were told to let her and her sister and bodyguard off first.
Sorry, Max, that doesn't help your mood, does it?
That's all right.
Hey, listen, are you camped? Are there still people camped at the Sofitel? Because the New South Wales Origin team's got to pull in there tomorrow morning.
Oh, brilliant. I love it. look,
this is good.
They were parked there last night. But yesterday there was talk that they were parked at the Royal in the Park over near Botanic Gardens as well. And then, of course, there's the crews parked down at Mum's place, crews parked down at the sister's place down the Goldie.
When do we call this off, Max? How long will this last?
Well, you ring my boss.
Yeah.
And,
so
hey, Max, you're so over this, aren't you?
I'm not allowed to be over it. I'm getting paid for it at the moment. So, look, we understand that people are probably keep saying we're sick of it, we're over it.
They're not.
But, you only need to look through social media and look at the feedback, and people are fascinated by it. And that's why we're all waiting to see when she's going to bob up and who's going to tell the story.
Quite incredible.
What is the story? It's just a bunch of vodka-swilling bogans, as far as I can tell. What's the story?
I don't think that people are as interested in the circus around it. I don't think they're as interested in Mercedes or Mum. They want to hear from Chappelle, and they want to hear, in her words, what happened. Did she do it?
Max Futcher from Channel 7, I want to hear from Mercedes because I have underestimated her. I had no idea that she was
mastermind.
This type of logistical mastermind. She should be doing bank heists. She should be doing bank heists or diamond vaults or something because
you
this
don't
is...
think it's her. Who do you think
no,
it is then,
it's
Max?
John, it's John McLeod, the security advisor.
Well, he's good and he's earned his money. Good on him.
Very, very good. Max Butcher from Channel 7. Get some rest, mate.
Thanks, guys.
Wait, it is Marto, Ed and Robin on the new Triple M, all for Team Moto. Sunny, top of 26 degrees. Still got a grand to win with the pressure test before 8:30, and our poor mate from Channel 7, Max Futcher, being given the runaround all weekend by Chappelle Corby. His weekend has not been great, what it's entailed just after 8 o'clock.
Tell us. Everyone loves Tell Us.
Hey, boys, before you talk rugby league, which I know is super important, yeah, just days out from Origin, I just figured that, Gordy, you are the man about town. You know where everyone and everything is. Do you know where the Chappelle is?
Chappelle? I Corby. Have no interest.
Oh, come on, Gordy.
I'll play the game, Gordy.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you know what? I was in Sydney, right, and I was walking down Market Street.
There we go.
And then as I was walking into my hotel, I bumped into her.
And
she was buying a boogie board in the surf shop next door.
I wish we'd never asked. Now
that's a good one.
Gordon, tell us. We're a bit nervous here. Can you give us your top three reasons why Queensland will definitely win?
Why Queensland will definitely win. Yeah. I read in the Sunday Mail about Cameron Smith, obviously playing his 40th. He said it's the most pressure ever put on him. So he has always rose to every challenge. He did 70 tackles in last year's grand final.
That's right.
New South Wales will play up the middle. We had Jack Bird on our show yesterday. And I don't know whether he let it slip. He goes, you know, Peter Sterling and Laurie Daly said, we're going to go through these guys. We're not going to go around them. We've tried to go around them for the last few years, so then it's going to play into our hands. That's why Nate and all those guys are going to have to do a lot of work in the middle of the ruck. And we're Queenslanders, and at the moment they're favourites and they've written us off. And I trust in Kevy and the guys that are going to play. I trust the 17 guys are going to run out in the maroon jersey.
Boys, these, I got to say, Gordy, these two are really, like, all conversation for the last week has been about Origin, and the closer we get, the more depressed they become.
They're not depressed, just nervous.
Well, I've got sweaty palms, and I'm nervous, and I'm thinking, you know, and then all the time I think, well, if they go here and they go there, and it was Milford, you know, like, if they keep on getting that Milford, and Papali didn't play last year and all that, but do you know what? We've written them off before, and we've all thought, God, geez, they're getting old, and we wrote off Petro and Stephen Price and Darren Lockyer.
That's
about
true.
10 years ago, it was going to be their last Origin if they didn't win. It was going to be all those legends last, and then sure enough, they play another three. And it's probably the same case for these guys running out on Wednesday night. And I've never backed against Queensland. I'd take half a point. I am nervous too, but and it's only because we're down on troops. But it's time for these other guys to step up. It's time for Matt Gillett to become, you know, like a great Origin player, and Napa's getting his first chance. And, you know, everybody talks about Milford in defence, and I wrote, Darren Lockyer missed 130 tackles in his Origin career.
I like that. You wrote in the article yesterday, yep.
He wasn't there to tackle. I was there to do the tackle. Like, you know, mate, it is a team game. He's there when all those big blokes are tied, and you know, and it's late in both halves, and Anthony Milford gets the ball, and he just bobs up and is on offload, and he starts testing those guys. They're going to have to be on their skates. So they're going to have to be, mate, there'll be alarm bells going off in their head as well. So,
beautiful.
We're only thinking of their positives. We're not thinking of ours.
Ah, Gordy, you're like a therapist. I feel a lot better. On the couch, same time tomorrow, please. Okay, Gord, we're going to let you go, buddy, but we're going to catch up with you all week as we head towards Origin. Gordon Tallis, we'll see you on Fox Sports. We'll read you in the Courier Mail. We'll hear you on the M. See you soon, Gord.
Cheers. Flat white, Chappelle.
Flat white, Chappelle.
Marto, Ed and Robin for T-Moto. Huge half-yearly sale. Don't miss your chance to grab a new Yamaha, Kawasaki, Honda or Suzuki motorcycle. T-Moto.com.au.